All right. Have you ever asked yourself, what in the world do I do to market my business? Listen, guys, if you can't generate a sale, you're out of business. And all the work that you put into learning your craft, honing your skills, pricing your work, estimating is all out the window if the phone doesn't ring. And one of the biggest reasons that so many contractors are stuck right where they're at for several years is because they haven't mastered this whole marketing thing. And that's why we have the Contractor Fight Marketing Bootcamp. So listen, if you want to learn more about marketing your business, check out, it's a 15-part video training series, cover everything from setting your goals for your marketing to what to do on your website, social media, videos, relationships, email marketing, you name it, it's in there. We guide you into creating just a super simple marketing plan and strategy for your contracting business. So guys, head to thecontractorfight.com/marketing-boot-camp. Check that out, or just hit the link that's in the show notes for it, and it'll take you right there. You guys rock. All right, fighters, check it out. I recently had a conversation with a couple of cool human beings, so I just wanted to share that with you today. Today, I got Scott and Katie Molchan on the show. They own a landscape business in Crown Point, Indiana. They've learned a lot of lessons through the years, gotten kicked in the teeth, learned a lot of lessons about leadership and culture and profit and mindset and all those things. So we dig in for a few minutes and talk about that. They have a program to help landscapers make more money. And we talk a little bit about that. It's called Million Dollar Landscaper. Check out the show notes for links to all their stuff. And without further ado, here's Scott and Katie. What's going on, guys? Welcome to the fight.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great to have you here. So where are you sitting at today? Where are you at?
We're actually in Northwest Indiana. So we're about 30 minutes out of Chicago.
There you go. How humid is it today?
Very humid.
We're sitting here sweating right now.
Yeah, before I hit record here today, we talked a little about me being in Colorado and being from Illinois and how I do not miss the weather one bit. In fact, I can't think of a day that it's been humid out here. I think since I've lived in Colorado since 2015, I might have seen a total of 8 mosquitoes.
I had no idea.
Yeah, at least where I live in Colorado Springs, it's pretty sweet. So
nice.
Well, anyway, I'm super fired up to hang out with you guys for a few minutes here today. So before we jump in and things like that to other things, I just want to pick your brains quick, just to kind of give people something that they can chew on here. If they can't finish the whole podcast, they choose not to finish the whole podcast, I want to give them something right out of the gate here that gives them some value that they can walk away with and put their focus on or their mindset on. And so I guess in your experience, guys, what are 2 to 3 things that might come to mind that that you believe contribute to success in business?
I think number one is learning the numbers for your business, because this is like, first of all, it's like the number one question that people ask in our like free Facebooks and groups like that. Like everybody's like, oh, what should I charge? What should I charge? And of course we get like, so like, well, you know, you can't just ask that and get this information from strangers on Facebook. You have to know what you need for your business. And so I think once you can kind of at least get a hold of that, then that is an awesome stepping stone to working on everything else in your business. But I mean, we're all here to make money. I mean, it would be lovely if we just all did this, you know, as charity work, but we don't. Your company needs to survive. You need to thrive. And so I think for me, that's a great place to start off.
Well, some of us are, you know, are doing it for charity, right? Unknowingly.
Yes, right.
You know, or we have in the past. So I get that. Okay, yeah, cool.
That was something. That was our biggest issue we had. And the next one I think is just your self-drive. You have to be wanting to do this and wanting to improve yourself and learn more. You know, I think everybody gets complacent, gets comfortable for where they're at, and just, I'll just work harder, get the next big job and hope I make money. Mm-hmm. I think drive is a huge thing.
Well, these are two topics that we talk about here all the time. And I love that you guys brought them up. So I want to start with the self-drive thing, because one of the things I've noticed, and I'm curious your take on this, is I see because of the world that we live in, I call it the microwave world. When the microwave oven came on the scene, I'm 50, almost 51. Mm-hmm. And when the microwave came around, I think it started this thing where we just expect an easy button for everything. You know, I used to have to make popcorn on the stove, and then we could put it in this box and push a button, and it would come out in a few minutes. Then, you know, we got the remote control where you don't even have to get your ass off the couch anymore to go turn the channel. And there's been another number of other things. And listen, I'm all for technology, but I think this having the answers for everything at your fingertips so easy, I think in a lot of ways puts a limit or a cap on the drive that people have to dig and learn. They expect to be spoon-fed instead of putting in some effort. I mean, again, I'm dating myself, and you know, I used to ride my bike 4 miles to the library to do homework for a paper, you know, and now we can just go on this little box that we carry around in our hands.
Yes.
And have the answers to everything in the world. So what does a healthy self drive look like to you guys? Like, what's maybe a little bit of your examples from your life?
Well, for me, it's the willingness to even go ahead and try and learn this stuff, because in our experience, there are so many people that are focusing kind of on the wrong things. Because knowing your numbers, to me, it's simple, but it's not easy. Like, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's going to require effort. And in our experience, because we worked in the family business, so we kind of came in after Scott's dad had already started the business, and his dad just never wanted to look into the business end of things. He was just that, well, I'm just going to keep working. I'm just going to wait for like one big awesome job to come in, and I'm going to make gajillions of dollars on it. It was just, he just never had that interest or drive to look at the business ends of things. And then when we came in and started kind of poking around, we're like, why are we working like insane, crazy people for like 15 hours a day when we could just look into these numbers? Like, there is a fix. It's going to take some work, but there is a fix.
Katie said, my dad would just keep working. I would work, you know, I'd come home till 9-10 o'clock at night, keep working on estimates and put the kids down and go work some more. And it finally got to the point where, like, this is not right. This is not how I want to live my life. And it took to that point to get to want me to learn new things. And I think that's where a lot of people get to, is they wait so long till they get to the point, then they have to do something into that, or they go broke or go crazy. And I think you just have to find that and start, you know, listening to others and listening to podcasts and just whatever, get on YouTube, get on Google or something.
Well, luckily we have these little boxes that we all carry around with us, because we're in our 40s. And so when we learned this, we had to, you know, go to the library and rent video, you know, VHS tapes to watch. And we had to learn it out of books and everything. Yeah, we didn't have all the resources that are available nowadays. And so, but yeah, you know, you've got to have that, at least a little bit of that spark under, you know, that fire under your butt to go do it, instead of just that working. Cause that's where we come, you know, at least in our experience, we just come from the background of that. We'll just keep working harder.
I grew up farming, and that's what you just did. You want to make more money, you got to work longer hours, and it carried over into our landscape business. And that's not, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm lazy, but I just didn't want to live that life. I didn't want to be like my grandma and my dad working all hours. So I just had to find something in me, and I just dig down deep, and I like to dig in and go.
Well, that you had a wife that was kind of, you know, nagging at you too.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah. So one of the things that we fail to put our focus on is that this is probably the easiest time it's ever been to like build a business
in human
history, right? I mean, you have all these resources at your fingertips. And I think we take them for granted. What I've seen, and we're on this big kick here in the contractor fight over the last couple months here, where we've always cared about implementation, but I've changed a lot of the formats of my podcast. I've changed, you know, formats of my videos and our coaching program, where it is all about implementations, because we don't have a shortage of information. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us, we consume, and we don't implement. I'm grateful that we have all this information, but I also think that sometimes it gets in our way of actually just pulling the trigger on the things that we already need to know, or that we already know to do.
Oh, completely. We talk about this as well, that paralysis analysis, because I'm guilty of it as well. Like, I'll just like freeze because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things. I know so many things. I don't know what to do. Where do I put my hands? Like, where do I start? Yeah.
So how do you pick? What do you guys do?
I always say just pick, like, what is like, what's your biggest problem right now? What is causing you the most trouble? And then pick the easiest thing that you can do to fix it just to get yourself that momentum.
Well, we say do it ugly, like just get started and
oh yeah, whatever you do isn't going to be perfect. Yeah, just do it ugly. It's going to, whatever you start, you might mess it up and you're probably going to do it wrong and you're going to have to go back and fix things. But whatever your biggest problem is, what's the easiest thing, the place that you can start and just do it? Like just like cannonball right in.
There you go. Yeah, it's what's that thing, you know, just ship it at 80%, right? And then figure out the rest along the way or something. Like, I'm butchering this thing. But,
oh, completely. Yeah.
Yeah. So we probably should have done this earlier, but we just kind of dug in. We didn't tell anybody what you guys do. So, you know, Scott, you mentioned our landscaping business. It's South County Landscaping, right?
Yep.
And you're in what, Crown Point?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that, how you guys got into the business, and a little bit about your current business.
Sure. My dad started the business in, well, I guess first off, we started farming, and then to make some extra income, he decided to go work for a landscape company and basically thought he could do it better on his own. So basically quit that, started doing lawn treatments and, you know, fertilizations and stuff with a business partner. They kind of broke up. He went on his own, started South County Landscaping, and well, became incorporated in 88. He actually started in like 86. And I just kind of grew up in it from there. I, you know, worked on the weekends and, you know, afternoons, Friday afternoons, or I'd work in the yard taking care of plant material. So I kind of pretty much grew up landscaping pretty much my whole life. He's still going strong today. We've actually kind of stepped back from the business the past couple of years. We want to focus on our side thing we have going
Well, cause I worked in the business for a number of years as well. Like when, cause the business was 100% guilty of that, growing really fast. And no, you can grow really big and you can make well over a million in revenue, but that doesn't mean that you're the most profitable business. Yeah. And so we kind of jumped in. I worked for the business for 10 plus years as well. When his parents were kind of going through that, like, here's this big, huge, very successful business on the outside. But when we actually kind of dug in on the inside, it's like, oh wow, you can sell almost 2 million a year and barely make a profit. Yep. And so we spent like 10 years digging in and kind of flipping that all around. And that's where Scott and I really got this love for kind of digging into the business side of things, because so many landscapers are awesome landscapers. We never had to teach his dad one dang thing hardly about landscaping. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is that landscapers don't know about the business side of things. And so then it's called Million Dollar Academy. It's just an online academy that has the business courses that landscapers need, because that's where I see the biggest need.
And I love that. And you might've just touched on it here, but I wanted to ask this anyway. So let's go back to the landscaping business for a minute and all the years you guys spent in it. And obviously, what's one of your biggest failures that comes to mind? And then what did you learn from it, and how did you rectify it going forward?
I'd say our biggest failure was the culture. We'd have so many people come and go inside our landscape business. And I would say it had to do with the way, you know, we didn't have any systems, procedures in place. Nothing was in place. Everything was run through my dad. And, you know, guys would just get fed up with it. You know, if he felt like this guy needed a raise, he'd give that guy a raise. If this guy came in late, he'd let it go and let it slide. But this other guy that come in late, you know, wouldn't. And it just burned people out. And we'd saw so many people come and go. Mm. And then, you know, I started kind of seeing this. So we started to make changes and started doing assistive procedures, having a handbook and whatnot, and just started, I don't know, just talking to the people and just being
more building that relationship with employees, like actually sitting down and like letting them in on some of the numbers, like, okay, here, because of course your employees always think that you're just like rich and sitting on piles of money while you're paying them pennies. But that's not always the case. So we started letting them in on, okay, well, you know, here's how many man hours it's going to take this job to do this job. And actually here's our numbers for this job. And oh, hey, look, we have six figures in overhead every year that we've got to pay off. So once you kind of like let them have a dog in the fight, then they have a better understanding of what you're going through and of what they can do to help. It's like, help me help you type situation.
That, so. The vision too, like letting them see where, what we are seeing as owners. Like I remember sitting down with our hardscape foreman and telling him, you know, I can envision you running two or three different jobs, being a production manager for the hardscape side, and let them see that there's a future for them. And that really helped keep our people. Like we ended up keeping some people for over, I don't remember, the one guy just left actually, but he was there for 17 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to go back with his family, and can't blame him there. But you know, it just having that culture was a big change, and that really made a difference in our company all around.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. Here's what I've seen through the years. And I have a workshop that I do that's basically called the Profit Path. And it's about exactly what it sounds like. How do you sustain profitability as a company, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can wake up. I remember one year I had 50 grand in the bank at the end of the year. It was one of my first years of business. And I was like, how the hell did that happen? Like I had no idea, right?
I want to do this again.
And then I've had years where there was, you know, no money. There was negative money in the bank, right? And I was like, how the hell did that happen? And so we can accidentally be profitable now and then, mm-hmm. but what we're after, the strongest companies, they're the ones that are intentionally profitable consistently over time. And so that's what this whole workshop that I do is all about. And there are really like 8 steps to profit. And I'm not going to go into them here, but most contractors, when they're not profitable, they go to one of 2 things right out of the gate, which are way out of order. And the first thing they go to is they go to their quality of work, because we mm-hmm. default to our comfort zone, right? We're always comfortable with the work. And the second thing, or a close second, would be they always go to, I got to make my customers happy. And there's a bunch of research through the years and this and that, that we put this thing together with, that the number one thing that's going to lead to you being profitable, I'll give everybody the first 2 here. Number one is you as a leader. You got to work on you as a leader. Number 2 is you got to build an intentional culture. You got to turn that shit around, because that's truly the foundation, the rebar, whatever you want to call it, to you building a business that's going to be profitable. So the fact that you guys brought that up, I just thought was pretty cool. Just an observation here.
That's amazing. And I like that you have the owner's accountability in there as well, because I'm always saying, I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean, but if, you know, if your place is a shit show, I'm sorry, you need to look in the mirror, because who's running it? So.
Yeah. And it's with anything in the business, you know, we forget that we're in control when we own a business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you truly get to, you know, hire whoever you want, work for any customer you want to, charge whatever you want to. I mean, you could wake up tomorrow and put a patio in, and if you normally charge 10 grand or whatever for a hardscape thing you're doing, whatever the size is, you could turn around tomorrow and say, I'm going to sell these for 50 grand now. Mm-hmm. Like that is simply a decision.
Yep. Right.
And then you just got to reverse engineer and go, that's my decision. That's what we're going to do. What skills do I need to level up in my own self mm-hmm. here and in my company that are mm-hmm. going to get us to the point where we can close those deals? Mm-hmm. But everything's a decision. And so, well, that's cool. So what, in the last couple minutes here, guys, I'm super fired up you joined us today, because, and let me just say this, a lot of times I will get messages from people that, they're like, Tom, you own a coaching company for contractors. Why do you from time to time have other people that do what you do on the show? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I get a ton of messages. Hey, I have this product. I have this thing. I only bring people on that I either know personally or the people that are in my inner circle know. And Laura Reality from Landscape Marketing Secrets works with you guys. Mm-hmm. And she's been on the show, and I've worked with her and her company for a number of years. So the trust factor is way high. So I just want to throw that out there, that that's the biggest reason you guys are here. But the second is this. I really work hard to to approach the world with a abundance mindset.
Yes.
And I know that I'm not a fit for everybody. I know our programs aren't going to resonate with certain people. I know some people don't like how much I swear, and they don't like my, you know, if I had a nickel for every message I got for my language and that I'm an asshole, you know, I'd have a lot of nickels. Okay. So, I just want to set the stage. That's why you're here, because our mission in the fight, and this comes back to the culture. And so this is kind of like, I'm not talking to necessarily you two, I'm talking to the listeners here. When you are clear on who you are as a company and what your values are, it's much easier to make decisions. And our mission in the fight is to bring respect and dignity back to the trades. And so I don't care if it's my program, if that makes sense. Yeah. I just want to give to people that are out there that need these resources. And I've just, and I've learned this through the years that, you know, what you put out comes back to you somehow, some way. And that's just kind of like a little, I don't know what you interlude there, whatever you want to call it, where a lot of times people will say to me, like, why do you have these competitors on? And I think if all of us in whatever our businesses were, if we got clear on who we are as a company, where we're going, you know, what impact we really want to have, the world opens up to massive opportunities for other relationships that where everybody wins. And so, I don't know, what are your thoughts on the whole scarcity mindset, abundance mindset stuff before we get into your program here?
Oh, no, I could not agree more with everything that you're saying, because I've actually had conversations with the green executive, because she wanted to, Sarah Linderman, one of the owners, she had some questions for me about how we do our online academy. Mm-hmm. And I met with her in person and we had a great conversation. And she, you know, I could tell she was like getting a little squeamy in her chair at one point. She like scrunched up her face and she's like, you know, thank you. You know, aren't we kind of competitors? And I was like, you know what? I'm like, there is enough for everybody out there in this world. There is so much of a need for what you do and for what we do. And you hit the nail on the head. It's like, not everybody is going to like us. And so as long as somebody resonates with somebody, I just want the landscaping business owners, I just get the help and get your crap together and get your business together, whether they work with you, me, whomever. I think there is plenty of need out there. There's enough to go around. Yes. Because some people may not resonate, you know, with little Midwestern Scott and I, then, you know, they might like your style a little better. You know what? That's fine. Mm-hmm. Just go with what you're comfortable with. Because I just want you to take action. So go whomever you're comfortable with and who will actually get you to like actually do something.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah. And I see it. It's funny. I kind of grown up through the years in the aquascape world, the pond guys.
Sure. Yep.
Greg, the owner, has been on the show before. Him and I grew up together, played high school football together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I've been deeply entrenched in the water feature pond people community for a number of years. And I would tell you, I see more of that abundance mindset with those people than any other trade. I think pond people, for those pond people who are listening, I love you guys, but you're fucking nuts. You guys jump in your truck. You'll jump in your truck, drive 8 hours to help a guy build a waterfall and turn around and come home. Like, and that's the artist in them. They love doing what they're doing. But the cool thing is I've seen so many of them share people, sub out to each other to help, you know, fulfill labor needs. And it's such an amazing community because they're, for the most part, they're not just going, you know, oh, this is mine and, you know, onto it really tight. So anyway, I would encourage other trades, anyone listening to this, like don't look at your competitors as necessarily competitors. Mm-hmm. I think I'm my biggest competitor, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm the limit on my business, nobody else.
And we're starting to do that in the landscaping business around here. Like we're talking more to our competitors that are nearby us and, you know, just sharing stuff, sharing like this is what this employee did. You may not, you know, if he comes to your company, watch out for him, or this customer was kind of a crappy customer. Watch out. They may not pay you. And just talking and just helping each other out. And it's really improving our business too. So it's awesome.
Love it. So guys, last couple minutes here, give us an overview of your program. What do you got going on? Who's it for? Who's it not for? And, I guess we'll wrap up with that.
Okay. Our Landscape or Million Dollar Academy. It's like we said, it's for landscaping business owners. Most of the people in our group are $2 million and less. And so we help everybody from like the guy who's just starting out who maybe has one employee. We help everybody from that level to like, I grew that million and a half, but I'm broke because I grew too fast. And so, and we call it our green growth method. So we have kind of 5 steps that we walk people through. And so it's like getting your business organized, building your team, knowing your numbers, learning how to estimate. And then lastly, just like growing your business. And that's where Laura's coming in and she's helping us out with the kind of marketing stuff. And we have all 5 of those steps set up in a circle. We have them, it's not like a linear start here and here, because we realize that everything that you do plays off of each other so much. And like we said, you're going to have to just kind of do some of these things a little bit ugly and then come back to them and fix them and refine them as you and your business grow. So that's the long and short of our academy, the quick and easy version.
that's the gist. And so if somebody is in the landscape industry, they're interested in checking this out, where do we send them?
They can head over to www.milliondollarlandscaper.com.
Yeah, we have a free Facebook group that's huge, tons of people in there. Like if people just want to get in and have community and chat and maybe don't necessarily need the online academy, our free group is called just Landscaping Business Owners. Clever title there. Yeah. But they're welcome to hop in on Facebook. It's a really good group. There's a lot of, good communication in there. So if somebody just, wants to kind of dip their toe in and see what we're a little bit about, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Well, listen, guys, I guess one last question. What's one thing you guys could share? You got the stage here. You got, tens of thousands of contractors listening to this. What's one thing that you'd really want to leave them with before we get out of here today?
Just get started. Start taking action on things. Like we talked about earlier on, learning your numbers. Whatever it is, whatever is troubling you, take action to starting to fix it. Whether it's hiring employees, whatever it is, just start taking action. Even if it's just something little, and like we said, just do it ugly. Just get it started and fix it along the way.
Yeah, just start. Yeah, like you. Scott hit it perfectly on the head. Just start, and then you'll gain momentum as you go. You really will.
Well, I love it. Well, guys, I appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys that are listening to this, check out the show notes for all the links that we have to Scott and Katie's stuff. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars, and we'll talk to you guys next time on The Fight.